word comes to us this morning from the prophecy of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel 33, we'll read the first 16 verses. The text is verses 1 through 9. I'm not going to reread the text this morning, so pay very close attention to the first 9 verses. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, that's Ezekiel, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet, and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. That's the illustration of a watchman in Israel. Now God applies this to Ezekiel. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Notice that that's directed to the house of Israel. Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, The righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. And I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live. If he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin, do that which is lawful and right. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. At that point we read God's holy and inerrant word. Beloved of God, verses 1 through 9 of Ezekiel 33 is a charge that God gives to the prophet Ezekiel. The charge is that Ezekiel must be a watchman upon the walls of Zion for the house of Israel. God frequently uses this image of a watchman to describe the work of office bearers in the church. Counted 13 different times in the Old Testament prophets alone that God uses this image to describe the work of an Old Testament office bearer. Because the Lord Jesus Christ bears the offices of prophet, priest, and king in himself and fulfills them. And because he sets up offices in the New Testament church that correspond to those Old Testament offices, and because these ideas contained in the calling to be a watchman are repeated in the New Testament in description of those New Testament offices, this calling applies to the office bearers in Christ's church today. The calling to be a watchman is not the only calling of an office bearer in the church of Jesus Christ. There are many callings that are pressed upon him in his role, but the charge of being a watchman is one of them, and a vitally important one that, along with the others, may not be neglected, lest the church of Christ herself be destroyed. But if this calling, this charge in the text, is to the office bearers of the church, then why do we explain it here? Why do we give it in the worship service this morning? If the charge is for them, why not give it to them in the council room before a council meeting for 20, 30 minutes or so? Why do all of us have to be present here this morning for this charge to the office bearers? There are four answers to that question. First of all, and most importantly, because God says we must be here for it. In our text this morning, in the first two verses of Ezekiel 33, the prophet records this from God. And again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people. And then he repeats the charge to Ezekiel. Speak the charge that I give to you, to the people. God didn't just give this charge to the prophet on his bed at night in his house alone. But he said, Son of man, speak the charge that I give to you publicly before all the people. If you read Ezekiel 3 at the very beginning of the prophecy, you'll see that what we read here in Ezekiel 33, verses 1 through 9, is almost word for word the same as the original call of Ezekiel to his office as prophet in the beginning of the book, only with this difference. That charge in Ezekiel 3 was given privately to him. This one is given publicly, because the people of God must know too, God himself has called the prophet to be their watchman. Third, the answer to that question is that the purpose of making it public before God's people is so that the office bearers themselves may know, that God's people know what their calling is, and may know that God's people too expect them to fulfill their calling in their midst. Fourth, the reason is because all of God's people now hold an office in the Church of Jesus Christ, the office of believer. And to that extent that we hold that office, all of us receive the charge that comes in this text. Especially fathers and mothers are called to be watchmen in their homes. The sermon applies to the entire church, even if it applies uniquely and specifically and in a special way to those elders and deacons and ministers who hold the special offices in the Church of Jesus Christ. Bear all of this in mind then, as God himself gives the charge to those men especially, to all of us, I have set thee a watchman. Let's notice first the calling, second, the great responsibility, and third, the encouragement. I have set thee a watchman, the calling, the responsibility, and the encouragement. During World War II, both in Great Britain and in the United States, there were what were called air raid wardens. The responsibility of an air raid warden was to warn the people in his district about an imminent air raid, air attack from Germany, or in the case of the United States, especially from Japan. They were to call out to the people in their district, call them to prepare for an imminent attack, to blacken their windows so that the pilots of the planes would not have a target, to prepare for the possibility of being bombed. The air raid warden was a watchman, and his responsibility was very similar to the responsibility of a watchman in Old Testament Israel. The watchman was a key figure in the life of Israel. The watchman stood upon towers on the outsides of the city or on the ramparts on the edge of the city, and they watched for an incoming invasion from an enemy. And when they saw that coming in the distance, they warned the people, they blew a trumpet, warned the people that an attack was imminent, so that the people who were out working in the fields outside the city walls could come into the city for safety before the attack came, and so that the people could prepare for battle. The lives of the citizens then were literally in the hands of the watchman. If he did not do his duty, there was no opportunity to prepare for the attack, and the destruction of the people was guaranteed. Now this watchman is used in the text to describe the spiritual calling of the office bearers in the spiritual city, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we break it down, that illustration then tells us five things about the calling of an office bearer. Five things. First of all, it tells us that the office bearer must first recognize, see the danger that is coming upon the people. The first calling of the watchman was to be able to see, recognize the danger to the city. Verse 3 of Ezekiel 33, when he seeth the sword come upon the land. There are enemies of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are the enemies of false doctrine. There are the enemies of an unbiblical and ungodly style of life. There are the enemies of the thinking of the world that slowly seeps in under the cover of darkness like a spy into the camp of the church of God. There is the postmodern and relativistic thought that is affecting the church world as we speak. It says that there is no real truth, that everything in the Bible too, including key doctrines of Scripture, are just really your perspective on things, and someone else might have a different perspective, but who's to say what's really true? It doesn't matter. Doctrine doesn't matter anymore at all. It's the enemy of materialism that surreptitiously enters into Zion, making the sheep lazy, unconcerned about spiritual realities as they pursue the world. There is the compromise, worldliness, letting the world into the church in many different ways, especially in worship, under the guise of this: if we're going to keep the young people interested in what's going on here, we have to make the church like what they are interested in. And what they're interested in is things that the world is interested in. So we bring the world into the life of the church. There are enemies. There are attacks from all sides. The list could go on and on and on. All the sins, all the pride, all the abuse, all the affront the word and law of Jehovah God. There are enemies within. There would be times, of course, when an enemy would secretly send a spy into the city to influence the people, to expose the weaknesses of the city, like Israel herself attempted to do with Jericho, sending the spies into Jericho. And sometimes beyond that, the people themselves inside the city can be their own worst enemy. Sometimes they heed the voice of the infiltrator, looking always for something new, something exciting. sometimes without even knowing it, the sins of the people inside the city are affecting them and affecting the church, endangering the souls of the people of God without them even fully recognizing that very fact. That's why the Apostle Paul reminds the office bearers that at times people oppose themselves without even fully grasping it under the influence of the evil one. And therefore, the Apostle Paul says this to the office bearers in 2 Timothy 2:25 and 26. In meekness, you must be instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him and his will. The office bearer must see the danger. He must see the attack. He must see this even when the people themselves sometimes cannot see it. In what must surely be one of the devil's greatest feats, that he makes one of the people his own worst enemy. Most often, while that one is waxing eloquently about what he thinks is something pious, with such pious and holy perspective he has all the while, he's in the snare of the devil. The office bearer must be able to see the attacks upon God's people. The office bearer must be aware of his own sinful nature and his own sinful heart, and see the dangers that are there for himself too, and that are there for the church in his own human nature. Must be aware of his own weaknesses and the places that the enemy attacks him too, for he too is part of the city he's called to defend, and in his position, devil ensnares him, there's a great effect upon the church of Jesus Christ. The enemy is threefold, beloved. It is the devil, the world under the devil's influence, and then our own sinful flesh. Watchman has a high calling to see the danger. There's a high calling to be on guard when others are not on guard. He must be able to see what others can't and more often will not see. He must be awake when others are sleeping. He must be alert when others are unsuspecting. He must know his enemy when others are dulled to the enemy, the fact that he's even there, and his tactics. The office bearer must know how the enemy works, the way he approaches God's people, so that he knows where to look for the enemy and the oncoming danger to the church of Jesus Christ. You must realize that there is a war always going on, and the attacks are constant, even as people sometimes in the city hardly even seem to think that the war is there. The spiritual lives of the people of God, their children and their children's children, and the very life of the city of God herself, in many ways, are in the hands of the watchman. Must see the danger. Secondly, calling of the watchmen on the walls of the city of Zion is to then, seeing the danger, warn the people of God in love for them. The watchman in Israel was called to, seeing the danger, then blow the trumpet to warn the people. Verse 3 of Ezekiel 33, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. A trumpet was a loud and clear sound that awakened the people out of whatever they were doing to the danger. So too the office bearer in his work must issue a clear and certain sound to awaken God's people spiritually to the danger that is upon them. The office bearer blows that trumpet by bringing God's word to God's people. Specifically, the word of God that warns against that particular danger. For Ezekiel, as an office bearer, bringing the word of God to God's people, and thereby blowing the trumpet, there was a direct and immediate word of God that was delivered directly to him that he was to speak to God's people. For the office bearers in the church today, with the revelation of God completed in Scripture, this is the calling Bring the word. The word is God's revelation to his people. Bring the word. The word that so clearly and so fully warns of all the dangers at any time and any place for the church of Jesus Christ. Bring out that word and blow the trumpet in warning about the danger that is upon the person or family or people of God. That's his blowing of the trumpet, often in sacred scripture. The blowing of a trumpet stands for the proclamation of the word, especially in that way, in warning and confrontation of sin, spiritual danger. Isaiah 58, verse 1 is representative. Cry aloud, God says to the prophet, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Office bearers, blow the trumpet of the word. When you speak, root your speech in God's word and the principles of God's word. Your warnings must be the very warnings that God himself has for his people in that word. Sometimes you men bring this word of God first and remind the people that this is your calling, to blow the trumpet of the word of God in warning to them that you're called to be a watchman. You bring that first. And then you do blow the trumpet. You bring the specific warning that God's word has for them in their danger. When you bring God's word, you don't just read the text and then close the book. You explain what it says to them, and you apply that to their particular situation, particular danger that they are in. Just like the watchman, his own voice was not enough. He couldn't just cry aloud from that tower. He had to blow the trumpet. So too, your own voice, your ideas are not enough. You must blow the trumpet of God's own word to God's people. The elder blows the trumpet of the word of God in his visits that he makes to families or to individual members of the congregation who are in danger. The elder blows the trumpet of God's word in family visitation often. We can even look at the elder blowing the trumpet in a warning when he visits the sick, visits the afflicted, blows the trumpet warning God's people of the danger of despair, the danger of discontent, the danger of thinking that God is not for him anymore. In all kinds of different ways, he blows the trumpet of warning. He does that in his teaching of catechism when the minister must be away. He does that in his regular conversations at times with God's people whom he loves, whom he seeks to protect in love. He does that, of course, in the formal steps of church discipline. He blows the trumpet of God's word in love, and he protects God's people by either leading that one to repentance, if God gives that one repentance, or if the word he blows hardens that one, which sometimes is the response, then eventually protects God's people by removing the leaven from the lump. He sounds the trumpet, warning of God, warning God's people who are repentant of their sins. He sounds the trumpet, warning them of thinking that they won't be forgiven then, and that they must live under the wrath of God the rest of their days. He applies the gospel of Jesus Christ and warns them, blows the trumpet, the warning of that attack of the devil from Scripture. He blows the trumpet in the consistory room with his fellow elders as he watches, and the minister watching over them and the doctrine of the minister. He blows the trumpet as the elders discuss the dangers that are there for the church of Jesus Christ. He warns with the word in every way concerning every danger. The deacons in their work warn with the blowing of the trumpet of God's word. They blow that trumpet if there is poor stewardship in the lives of God's people, or if there is abuse of the mercies of Jesus Christ. Again, like the elders, they blow the trumpet warning of despair, warning of thinking that God is not for them by bringing the word of God in mercy and the mercies of Jesus Christ to God's people. warn about spiritual dangers in their own personal interactions with the congregation too. For the life of a watchman is not only seeing the danger, that first of all, but it is then, no matter where that danger comes from, it is communicating warning of the danger to the people of Jehovah God. When the office bearer does that faithfully, he speaks for God himself to God's people. Notice that in verse 7. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. From me. When God's word is properly applied to the situation, then the origin of that warning is not the man. It is God himself. It is God's own word of warning to the flock. And the office bearer must bring it that way with that consciousness that this is God's warning to the flock. And the people must receive it that way too. This is God himself who is speaking to me here in his word through this man. That's part of the reason why the charge to Ezekiel must be in front of all Israel. It must be public. They must know that when Ezekiel speaks, he speaks God's own warnings to his people. And the people of God here must know that too. God is a God who loves his people. He loves his church. Because he loves his church, he warns them of danger. He is a father. And he speaks. He doesn't just let them sit there as the enemy is approaching. He speaks when the enemy is coming or is upon them in fatherly love and care. And the office bearers must understand that. Bring it that way, and God's people must receive it that way. This is part of the reason why the office bearers, when they bring God's word, must bring that word and explain that word clearly, carefully to the situation. They must not be wishy-washy about what this word has to say. They must not be unclear so that God's people are left not really sure exactly what was brought. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Calling of the watchman, thirdly, is to do this for the house of Israel. Verse 7. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Of Israel. For Ezekiel, that meant all that Israel was at the time of captivity. For everyone in Israel, no matter what city of Israel they were from, for a minister, perhaps there's a certain aspect of his calling that's the same way that leads him to blow the trumpet for all of Israel together. But for most of the watchmen in Old Testament Israel, their calling was specifically and especially for one particular city that they were called to protect. That's the case for you men who are here this morning in the offices of this church. God has called you to be watchmen, especially for this city of the house of Israel, for Calvary Protestant Reformed Church. And that means but you must know the dangers that are there for this city in particular. Many of them will be the same dangers that are there for the other cities of the house of Israel. Some of them perhaps will be unique to this congregation with these people that you see around you. Living at this time in the history of the world and in this particular location in the history of the world. You men must know your flock and the dangers that are specific to her. And you must discuss these things together as a body. You must ask yourselves this question. What is unique about the situation of this flock living in this place at this time? What is unique about the situation of this flock living in a historically reformed area that is now losing its reformed identity? What opportunities has that opened up for the devil? What dangers does that pose to our people, to our sheep? You must think about the changes that have occurred in the history of the world in these past 20, 25 years. You must think about the changes that have occurred in the church world in the last 20 years that make the dangers different or more pronounced for the younger generations that are coming after you. Dangers that weren't there or perhaps weren't as pronounced for the older generation. You must see and you must warn. You must blow the trumpet about how we as a congregation are to adjust to those dangers at this time. You must be aware of dangers that are to the left, and you must be aware of dangers that are to the right. You must blow the trumpet to this flock, to everyone in this flock. Not just the people who maybe in the past rubbed you the wrong way anyway, and so it's not so hard to bring a word of warning to them. You must blow the trumpet to the people in this flock who are your friends, those with whom you are close. You must blow the trumpet to people who you know will respond with humility favorably, and you must bring the trumpet to those who you wonder might not respond very favorably. Then finally, calling of the watchman implies, brethren, you pray to God for His Spirit to be with you in your work. God, by His Holy Spirit, through His Word, gives you eyes to see the dangers for the church of Jesus Christ. He gives you the words to speak from Christ's own Word to His people in a proper way. Pray for the Spirit to work in the hearts of God's people, to see the dangers that are upon them, that you are warning them about, and to respond accordingly. You can imagine, can you not, that the watchmen in Israel spent a lot of time in fervent prayer to God for these same things, knowing the high calling that had been placed upon him. So you, because ultimately, brethren, you are aware of what Psalm 127 verse 1 says. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. And knowing that, therefore, you heed the call of God to the watchman in Isaiah 62, verses 6 and 7. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. And then he says this to those watchmen. Keep not silence and give him that is God. Give God no rest in prayer until he establishes and makes Jerusalem praise in the earth. Pray. Pray. There is a grave burden of responsibility that is upon the watchman to the fulfilling of his calling. And that responsibility is this: God Himself holds the watchman accountable to a certain extent for the destruction of the souls under their charge if they fail to blow the trumpet when the danger is there and the enemy comes upon them and they are consumed. As that is the responsibility upon the physical watchman of the physical city that is in physical danger, so that is the burden upon the spiritual watchman of the spiritual city when spiritual danger comes. Verse 6, God himself explains this burden of responsibility to the office bearer. Verse 6, in the illustration first, if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet so that the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any one of them, that person is taken away in his iniquity. He's still responsible for what he does. But his blood I will also require at the watchman's hand. The watchman in Old Testament Israel, if he did not do his duty, was punished with the death penalty. And now God applies this in verse 8. If I say to the wicked, that is the church member in the sphere of the covenant who is living in a wicked way, if I say, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. A frightening reality, brethren. We rightly tremble a bit, maybe more than a bit, at the responsibility that has been placed upon us in these offices. And if we do not, there is something seriously, seriously wrong. His blood will I require at your hand. I confess to you that after studying this, I don't completely know how that manifests itself, that God will require their blood, the hand of the office bearer, if he does not blow the trumpet. But maybe we don't need to know. All we need to know is that it's deadly, deadly serious. I remember one time talking with one of the wives and mothers in the congregation, discussing, I think, a sermon about the roles of men and women in the church. And this particular woman said, I don't know why any woman is not called to hold the office, would want to intrude upon positions that are not given to her in the church. She said, what woman, what person, man or woman, who is not called to bear that, knowing the burden of responsibility that God places upon the office bearer, and that they are answerable to God for that responsibility? What woman and what person not called to that, knowing that, would want to take that upon themselves against God's call when it is not for them? There's an element of truth to that statement. There is a burden of responsibility here that is almost so heavy that a man who even is called and qualified to do it says, I don't know that I can do this. You can by God's grace. He will by God's grace. And God knows too, we are but flesh and blood. Men with sin nature still, whom he puts into this office. There is a responsibility here that is great. Greater than that is upon the president of these United States. Greater than the burden that's upon a doctor who cares for the body. Brethren, care for the souls of the people of the city of God. Let us be faithful, brethren. There are unfaithful watchmen, you know. There are unfaithful watchmen. on the one side who maybe don't blow the trumpet in love for God's flock, but on the other side, and I think much more often, unfaithful men are scared to blow it when it should be blown, or scared to speak when they must speak, or afraid because that one might not like what I have to bring, and who therefore allow the enemy to come in to destroy the church of Jesus. What explains the apostasy throughout the history of Christ's church? What explains the fact that institutions, once strong, become weak and eventually die? It's the same thing that explained that apostasy in the institution of Old Testament Israel. The watchman failed to blow the trumpet. Hear God's own word to Israel concerning the failure of her watchman in Isaiah 56, verses 9 and 10. God cries out to the beasts, "All ye beasts of the field, come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest." Because, here's why he calls them to come. Because Israel's watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber, end quote. God preserve this congregation. God preserve this denomination from such wicked watchmen. Don't be overly zealous, barking at every rustling of a leaf like some dogs do, but see and bark. Barking is necessary. Watchmen, blow the trumpet. No fear. Bark with tears. Bark with pleadings when you need to do so. Bark with righteous zeal when that is necessary. Blood, sweat, and tears to warn the flock of Christ. Don't let the beast come and devour. For the blood of their iniquity is upon our head. When we are faithful, brethren, not perfect, not sinless, when we are faithful, and the other side of it is this, that we must leave the rest in God's hands and leave to each individual their own individual responsibility. Verse 9 of Ezekiel 33 is a striking text teaching the individual responsibility of the members of the church. And God, for the watchman's sake too, says what he says in verse 9. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. You have delivered your soul from responsibility. If you are faithful and they do not heed, you do not bear their blood upon your head, and you may not go forward as though you do. A word that every office bearer, including this one, needs to hear. It means you don't then constantly be thinking about forever and ever long, what if I just would have said it like this? Maybe if I would have just said it a different way, then they would have heeded the warning. Then you bear, brethren, what is not yours to bear anymore. If you are faithful, then the rest you leave alone. It's in God's hands. And they bear their own individual responsibility for what they do with the warning. You must let it go and continue in your work. That word must be sounded to God's people here this morning too. It's not just the office bearers who bear a great burden of responsibility. When God sets up watchmen over his church, we do too. We bear responsibility too. A responsibility to heed the word of God that they bring. We are held individually accountable for our response to the warning. And God himself says to us, that if they bring God's warning through God's word, not their warning, God's word, and we do not heed. Our blood is upon our own head. We are responsible. And therefore, there can be no blame shifting for the consequences that we experience now in our own lives, the lives of our generations. So often there is. It's easy to shift blame. Even to the office bearers themselves, when they were faithful, there might be blame if they're not faithful. But even when the office bearers were faithful, the temptation to shift blame. Well, if they, the blood is on your own head, you must bear the responsibility for it when they were faithful. Here's God's word, Jeremiah 6, 17 through 19. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Those consequences that you lament and try to place upon the head of somebody else, the fruit of your own thoughts, God gives, the consequences of what you desired. Even then there can be repentance. But repentance comes and is an accepting of responsibility. I did not heed the warning. Heed the warnings, beloved. Young people, young adults, heed the warnings of faithful office bearers who bring God's word to you. It is God's word, God's warning, not theirs. Heed it when it comes from the watchmen of your parents, who too are called to blow the trumpet to you from God's word, and blow the trumpet from God's word, not your word, God's word. Heed it. They speak from me, God says, from me, when they bring my word. Don't dismiss my word that they bring. Don't trust your life to your own thoughts and your own feelings and your own desires and dismiss my word that is brought. Don't puff yourself up in pride. Don't dismiss it because the one bringing it said this to you 20 years ago or 5 years ago or did this. It's my warning. If you do not heed it, you receive the fruits then of your own thoughts upon your own head. High calling to bring God's word, office bearers, God's word. A high calling for Ezekiel, a high calling for the office bearers here this morning. But there is encouragement in the scriptures as well unto the faithful fulfilling of our callings and bearing of our responsibilities. First of all, the encouragement is in verse 7, so you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. I have made you this. And God says the same thing to the office bearers in the sight of the congregation here this morning. I have made thee a watchman for this house of Israel. Loved of God, they do not bear the office of their own devices. God himself has called them to this. God himself has called you to these offices, brethren. And in that confidence, you must go forward. You've not campaigned as a politician. You've been placed in it by him. And in that light, you can and must be encouraged to go forward to the best of your ability. Secondly, the encouragement is that God has used his people, in part, to place you in this position in his house. Though that wasn't true of prophets. This comes out in the illustration part of the text. In verse 2, son of man, speak to your people and say to them, if I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from among them and make him their watchman. In accord with Reformed and Biblical New Testament polity, God has put these men in this office in part by your own taking them out from among you. God's people have seen the gifts that God has given you, men. They have seen that you must bear this responsibility on their behalf. They want you to bear this responsibility, have called you themselves to this for their own safety and welfare. They desire that you blow the trumpet for them. They've set you up upon the watchtower, an encouragement to you. Third, the encouragement is that, in accord again with New Testament biblical polity, God has set you up as watchmen. Watchmen, plural, in the offices in this church. It doesn't come out here in this text, but it does in the other Old Testament passages that speak of the watchmen on the walls of Zion. Isaiah 62, verse 6, that I referred to before, "I have set watchmen," plural, "upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night." Jeremiah 6, verse 17, "Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet." And even here, Ezekiel was not set up alone. Daniel was a prophet with him, and for part of the time, Jeremiah as well. God sets up watchmen in his church. You do this work together, brethren, not alone. You may use each other. You may learn from each other. You may and must work together. Blow the trumpet as one body. This is encouragement for you. You are not watchmen alone. And finally, the encouragement is that in and through this God-ordained means, God will accomplish His sovereign and good purpose. It is God who sets up these watchmen in the text. It is His word that must be brought through these watchmen. And then notice this too in the passage, that it is even God who ultimately stands behind the danger that you must warn God's people about. Striking in verse 2 of Ezekiel 33, "Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land." Doesn't take away the responsibility. It establishes it. But it does show that He who is in control of all things, will accomplish His perfect will. Whether it brings you to sing in joy, to weep with sorrow, you will accomplish His purpose and will be glorified in His sovereign will. And He will use the means of setting up you men as watchmen to that end. Of that there may be no doubt. God go with you then, brethren. Bless you in this coming year. God bless this congregation. And God be glorified in the work that He gives you to do. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, give Thee thanks. I pray that Thou wilt use these men and bind us together in love and unity under Thy word. We bow to Thee, who is the King. In Jesus' name, amen.